Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Hello, live streamers. And tonight I'm really excited to be sharing with you. And we have kind of ended our Truth War series and just approaching Thanksgiving. I wanted obviously to speak about that. And you know, it's so funny. Pastor Jürgen shared a lot of the same scriptures and even some stories and references that I had planned on sharing tonight. And sometimes you sit there and go, oh, I'm going to look like I'm just copying. But you know what? Like the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that helped him prepare is the same Holy Spirit that helped me prepare. So I am unapologetically going to be referencing some of the same things because this is what God asked me to bring to you tonight. And I just for a show of hands, who has never been here before? I just want to see how many new guests we have in the room. Hello, everyone. So good to have you. It's a great night to be here. We're going to have lots of fun afterwards. Don't rush off. So the title of my message is Gratitude Adjustment. I was going to call it Attitude Adjustment, and then I felt like it sounded too negative. So Gratitude Adjustment. And tonight I'm going to be sharing two testimonies, essentially. One from a new friend that I met just less than 2 weeks ago. And I'm going to call him up later, but not right now. But Brandon, go ahead and stand up. And your beautiful mom, just wave hi to everyone. You're gonna hear from Brandon a little bit later. And then I'm going to be sharing a story about my own life that I've shared before years and years ago. But I really felt compelled to share it again tonight. So it's going to be really great. So we're approaching Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving, being thankful, is not just something that we celebrate once a month or throughout the whole month of November, or it's not just a day. It's a place that we're supposed to live in all the time as believers, in the ups and the downs, through the trials, through the victories. We're supposed to live in a constant state of thanksgiving. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be thankful in all circumstances. And for a second, you're like, wait, what? Like, really? Like, I'm supposed to be thankful in all circumstances? Really? Well, I've had some bad stuff happen, and I'm actually currently going through some pretty tough stuff. So you're telling me, Pastor, that I'm supposed to be thankful in all circumstances, thankful for all circumstances. So I might have upset some of you already just with the first scripture. But I just want to clarify what that actually means. So, we're not supposed to be thankful for the bad things that happen. We're supposed to just be thankful in all circumstances. It's not thankful for the bad thing. It's thankful in it. To find something to be thankful for in the midst of hardships. And I'll tell you why that scripture says that. Because when we are going through hard times, if we only focused on and confessed and professed the negativity, the pain, the trials, the hardship, the diagnosis, the stress, oh my goodness, it is not too long before you are just going to be going down to a deep spiral of despair and depression. So that's why I believe God says we have to, even when we're in the trial, in all circumstances, whether good or bad, ups or downs, we must be thankful in, find something to be thankful for in any circumstance that we are facing. So we can choose in the midst of trials to take a position of thankfulness. We need to choose to take a position of thankfulness. And it's so funny. I was just thinking about taking a position of thankfulness in all circumstances. And there's no one else like David in the Bible who is a really great example of this. So, you know, he like wrote most of the Psalms and he's always just like, oh, everyone wants to kill me. Like everyone's against me. I have so many enemies. And yet all the on and on and on. And he's like the most bipolar person, like in all of the Bible. And he's just like, woe is me, woe is me. But he's like, but I will take heart. You are my strong tower. You are for me, not against me. You are my deliverer. You are my peace. So you see him, he's like hit in a hard time, right? And he's not ignoring the fact that he's in a hard time or denying that he's in a hard time. He professes it before God, but then he quickly shifts to a place of thankfulness and praise. And then he ends up feeling so empowered. He's so empowered. Psalms 23 is something that David wrote. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So again, he's going through the valley of the shadow of death. He's going through a difficult time. He's going through a difficult time, but you are with me, so I'm going to get through it. That is why we need to have a spirit of thankfulness no matter what circumstance, not for the circumstance, but in it, because it's gonna be that thankfulness that gets us through, because it turns our eyes from our problem to the bigness of our God, doesn't it? And it turns our mind from the trials that we are facing onto the promises of God. And promises that you can find in Romans 8:28. So no matter what's going on, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. So no matter how bad things get, God promises to somehow, some way, he's gonna work something out for good. So when we start thinking about the things that are going wrong, at least we could turn our dilemma into that position of praise and thank him that somehow, some way, he's gonna work all this out on our behalf. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I was really reminded of the power of thankfulness recently. And I think thankfulness is the precursor to the level of joy you can experience in your life. Without thankfulness, I don't believe you can experience true joy. And I want to share Brandon's story with you. So I met Brandon a little less than 2 weeks ago, and it was a really busy week, and my husband makes the coffee for us every night and then sets the timer for the morning. I am old school. I do the whole drip coffee thing. I put a little butter, a little coconut oil, and I bullet it, and it's amazing. You get all your good fats in the morning, people. It's awesome. But anyways, he goes, babe, we're out of coffee. And I was like, oh, no. I am one of those people that drink coffee for your protection, okay? I have to have coffee, and it is for your protection that I have coffee. And so I just looked at him dead serious. I was like, you do realize you'll be going to Starbucks before I get up, right? And he's like, I know, babe, I know. I planned on it. And so that day, I remembered I was at work. I'm like, oh my goodness, I have to have coffee. I don't want to have to wait for him to come home again. And so I rush home from work. I rush to get the kids from school. And then I'm like, we've got to go to Costco. We've got, because I like the Costco vanilla nut, the yellow package. Is anyone else? Yes, okay. So I have to have that particular coffee. So I was like, we got to run into Costco. And you just, running into Costco, like you just, anyway, so whatever. So I had like 35 minutes to go to Costco, get home, get the homework done, kids fed, in their soccer gear, and then off to soccer. So I was like, rush, 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 rush. And so I was like, kids, focus. We are not getting distracted, because their father has taught them to sample everything in the store. Oh! Oh my gosh. I refuse. I cannot. I never can get back that 2 minutes I waited in a line 12 people deep to taste a cracker. It is not worth it. Oh my gosh. Yes, it's a free cracker. It's you boys. You're crazy. And so John like has taught all my children to sample everything. So I'm like, focus, focus. We will not be distracted. We are going in. We are getting coffee. And they're like, okay, mom. And then so we get the coffee and then I go, oh no, I need one more thing. And it's all the way in the back. And so they were like, mom, you said one thing. And I'm like, So I'm like, we are bolting to the back and then we're leaving. And they're like, okay. So as I'm approaching like literally the back of the store, I never sample, remember? And oh my gosh, one more story. I was pregnant. I stopped going to Costco with my husband because when I was pregnant, he would leave with the cart to go sample. I'd go in the freezer section because I volunteered because I was hot, you know, because you're pregnant. And I would come out and I'm like, where's my husband? Or the cart. Could not find him. He's like seven aisles deep, like tasting salami. I'd get so frustrated. I'm like, you're not coming with me anymore. Like, I'm on my own. And so we approach this, and I smell something that I like. Yes. So, I love salmon. And they were sampling salmon bites. And so I go to reach for a salmon bite, and my kids go, "You said no sampling, Mom." And I'm like, "I am the mother." And so I go, and I was like, as I'm reaching for a sample of the salmon bite, Brandon is also reaching for a sample of the salmon bite. And we lock eyes, and we both go to take a bite of our salmon. And he looks at me, doesn't say hello. He goes, "I almost died." And I'm like, "Didn't you do that? You did that, didn't you?" "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And no, yeah, no. He goes, "I almost died once." And I was like, you don't just go, "Oh, have a nice day." So I'm like, I have a feeling I'm gonna hear the story. And so I was like, I just go, "Oh, looks like my plans are no longer rushing and God has other plans." So it was one of those moments where you just knew you just needed to wait and to see what God wanted to do in that moment. Then I thought I was being all spiritual and I was like, well, at least he's going to get an invitation to church or I'll tell him about Jesus. But then I quickly learned that he knew a whole lot about Jesus because he unashamedly kept talking about him and giving glory to him throughout this whole story. Yes. So my kids quickly, and I was so actually impressed with them because they weren't rude at all. They didn't even like try to interrupt. They just sat down because they were like, "I think we're going to be here a while." So they did. They just sat down and they were just listening, and we're just chatting away. And he tells me about this amazing story. When he was 16 years old, he was going down a really dark path, making some decisions that were going to end up no place good. And so at the age of 16, his mom made the brave decision to send him to Oregon to live on his uncle's farm temporarily, to work on the farm and just get his life in order. And so she sent him to be with his uncle. And then about 3 months later, Brandon was working on the farm, riding a dirt bike, didn't have a helmet on. And there was a bush in the way, and he went to pull out onto the road, and he didn't see a black vehicle that was quickly approaching. And so as he pulled out onto the road, he was struck by the vehicle. And they later found his body on the other side of the road. And at that, people thought he was gone in those moments, but through a series of circumstances, he was able to be life-flighted out to a hospital. And the diagnosis was really grave. We actually have some photos of Brandon if you want to put those up while he was in the hospital. Just want to step away. I think there's two different photos. And so his family was here. They got the news. And through a series of little miracles, they were able to get on the plane and they were able to go be with their son. And the doctors, he had surgery and they gave him a 5% chance of survival. But they said, but even if he survives, we don't know what quality of life he's going to have. He seems to have no brain activity. We believe that he's brain dead. And so they just began this journey. And when I was chatting with his mom, she said that the whole family went in and said their goodbyes, and they gave him over to the Lord. And he was on life support. The doctors wanted to take him off life support. And then he finally took one breath on his own. And so they had a glimmer of hope there. And then he seemed to be doing a little bit better and was showing a little bit of responsiveness. And then he had a cardiac arrest. He went into cardiac arrest. So they had to resuscitate him. And he was in the hospital for about 6 months. 6 months in the hospital, eventually made his way back to San Diego. And he had to learn to walk again, talk again, eat again. And he's still in the process of a full recovery. And 19 years old now, back in high school, so he's 3 years past the accident. Give God some praise for that. And so this is all over, you know, we're sharing this over a sample station. And it was the cutest thing. I loved it. He just goes, "Oh, why I told you all that is because one of the first words I said when I came out of my coma was salmon." And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is how all of this started. It was one of his first words when he came out of his coma. And his mom was able to get him some salmon. He said he loves salmon. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like, I think you're just the best. So I got his phone number. I said, we're going to have lunch this week. And my kids and I are walking out. And Hudson goes, "Mom, that whole thing happened over salmon." And I'm like, I know. Like, how crazy. And so why I wanted to then connect with Brandon and his mom, like after that encounter, was because what I was so attracted to about Brandon is he had so much joy. The whole time he had a smile on his face, the whole time he was sharing with me, he was just pumped on life and he was just giving glory to God in every single breath that he took. And I was really attracted to that. It was truly contagious. Like I found myself like laughing and smiling the entire time. He was sharing this tragic story with me, but his joy was so contagious. And so when we had lunch, I asked him these questions. I said, so how did you do it? Like, how did you get through all of this? And these are just some of the things he shared with me. He said, my MO was never to give up. I'm just so thankful to be alive. I'm thankful for everything. You have to keep a grateful heart, especially for the little things. The little things can make you so happy. He said, contentment is not just being happy with what you have, but okay with what you don't have. Having other things would be nice, but I choose to be happy with the things I have. And then he goes, right here, I'm so thankful for these carne asada fries. We went to Los Ponchos. Los Ponchos, yes. He chose the place. And so, you know, and I asked him, I was like, well, there had to be a time like you got down. Like, what did you do when you got down? And he said, I refused to allow depressive thoughts to come into my mind. He said, if I would have entertained those thoughts, I would have given up and lost hope. And then he said, the first thing he does when he started to feel depressed was he would sing a worship song. And he said, and when I praise him, I feel better. When I praise him, I feel better. And he said one of his favorite songs that has really gotten him through the most recent of times is Praise You in the Storm. And I would love to invite Brandon up, and he's going to just share one or two things with you. Come on up, Brandon.
Thank you. All the applause is given to God, since there's nothing I've done. Like I was for most of I was in a coma for over 3 weeks, and I had nothing to do with it. But God, who orchestrates everything to work for the good of those who love Him, man. And I was telling, I don't want to look like an angel. I still struggle, but I try to fight against it. And a quote that I really like, and I actually made it into a shirt, but it's at my sister's, so that's why I'm not wearing it. It's it in happy moments, praise God. Difficult moments, see God. Painful moments, trust. Oh, quiet moments, worship God. Painful moments, trust God. Every moment, thank God. And as disciples, we're called to be joyful for everything. And she said, in everything, not for everything. Since God can make miracles out of mistakes. My life has shown that. And beauty from ashes. And I am looking forward to meeting everybody. Just from Becky. Yeah, and this seems it's a great church and doing the will of the Lord and advancing His kingdom. And John 11 says, you never know how you react and how you the love we should show reflects God and us being a witness to everyone. I was laughing at how she said her son, that whole thing started off 7, and I wanted to say I prefaced it a little bit I said when my family was going to visit me in the hospital, my mom said, I'm going to bring you a home cooked home cooked meal, salmon, and then I did. I don't know because I obviously wasn't watching or like have memory. But they said I was saying salmon, 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 and what she said earlier, a shout out to Los Ponchos on East Main. Ooh, ooh. My man Mario Morales, he can whip up Bernie Meek, Blade of Caution, Carnesan, Quesadillas. Ooh, boo.
Oh, the best. Can you see why I wanted to have lunch with him? Like, you can't stop smiling when he's talking. It's beautiful. So beautiful. Go ahead and take your seats. So it's so important to give thanks in all circumstances, especially when things aren't going well, because our soul needs it. Our soul needs thankfulness. Thankfulness will bring joy. Psalms 104. Says you enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So thanksgiving and praise lead us into his presence. And then Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence is fullness of joy. So I will ask you this, if you're lacking joy in your life right now, you may not be spending enough time in his presence, because in his presence, you will find fullness of joy. But what's so interesting is you enter into his presence where you can find that joy with thanksgiving and praise. So can you see that our thanksgiving and praise to God is directly related to the level of joy we will experience in our lives? And that's what I saw when I met Brandon. He had so much joy, but it was evident he had that much joy because he was so thankful. He was so thankful for the little things. You know, I wake up most days, and my pattern is this in the morning, because I can tend to, I'm not a morning person. I know Pastor Leanne wakes up pumped on life. I do not. I've tried everything, you guys. Like, before I get out of bed, I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. And I start, like, trying to thank him, and I still hate everything. Like, I've even tried that song, this is the day. Like, I'm not even joking. I will mumble. I'm like, this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it, This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm still in a bad mood. I totally have tried it, you guys. I try it. I try to wake up and be joyful, but it doesn't work. And so I have to literally do this. I go get my coffee, and the kids don't talk to me, and I go outside. And I love it. The mornings are crisp now. And I just walk very slowly, very slowly. It's not an exercise thing, around my pool. I just like stumble around my pool, and I have to start with thanksgiving. And I tell you, it shifts something. I start thanking God for anything and everything, like from my pool to the clouds, the sky. I just like look out and I just see how beautiful everything is. And it just sets myself up by giving praise and thankfulness to God. And literally, my joy fills my heart even in the morning. When I do that, and my kids, it's supposed to be my time, but they find their way to be around me all the time. And so one or two will always come out and they do like laps with me. And so I'm usually like tucked under. And so I just continue on and thank God for everything. And then if I have time, I go into the things that are troubling me for that day, the worries and stresses of everything. I just hand over one by one. God, this situation, this conversation, I just give that to you. I just cast that burden on you. And everything that's troubling me, I just give it to him that day. And then if I have any extra time, I'll put in a few prayer requests. And my 9-year-old, he's quite funny. And so he entered in when I was halfway through. You know, so I'd already gone through all the Thanksgiving and I'd already got my joy going on and everything like that. And I was already into the prayer requests. So that's when he joined me and I was just praying for stuff. And then we finished because they know not to interrupt me. And he goes, "Mom, you didn't even thank God for anything, like our pool or our family or our food or anything." And I was like, you joined halfway in. I already did that. Like, he knows, because he knows that's how you start the day with thankfulness and praise. So now I want to share a little bit of my story, and I've shared this years ago, and about how thankfulness literally broke the back of depression and anger in my own life. And so I want to share this with you because it's so incredibly powerful. And I'm going to be very transparent, so don't be judgy. Don't be judgy. So, you know, you get a title of pastor and everyone thinks you're like spiritual all the time. I am not. And I have struggles and I'm still a work in progress, just like all of us. And so I'm just going to be transparent, you know, perfection doesn't please anyone or impress God. So I really have an amazing life. I really do. I have an amazing family, husband, kids, church, job, everything. I actually love everything. I even love my in-laws. I love you, Jen and Joyce. I think they're watching online. I'm blessed. I love everyone, everything in my life. I have a really beautiful life. But despite how awesome my life appeared and really was, it didn't really match up with how I felt inside. Like, I would have moments of joy, but I was not joyful. I would have moments of peace, but I definitely did not have peace in my life. I love my husband, but I find myself being very annoyed at him a lot. And I love my kids, but I had like some resentment towards them. So it was like, I didn't understand because I'm like, my life is so awesome. Like, why is it not lining up? My external world did not line up with my internal world. And I suffered with like just feelings of depression and I'd get angry really quick. And I just didn't like who I was. It was like the conversation, this was years ago, by the way. This wasn't like last week, okay? Just, we're good, okay. Just forgot to say that. I was really struggling emotionally with just how I was feeling, really negative and everything. And so I'd be like, "Babe, what's wrong with me? Like, our life's so awesome, what's wrong with me?" So I would always ask that question. We'd go on date night, I'm like, "What's wrong with me?" He's always like, "I don't know." And then like we're on a date night and I was having the same conversation, just like, "What is wrong with me? Like, what is my problem?" And he just looks at me, he's like, "Babe, like, maybe you just need to cast out the spirit of female dog." And I was like, "I think you're right. Like, maybe I have a demon. Like, maybe I have a dog demon. I don't know." I was like, "Let's pray. I don't know. Let's get this thing out of me." I was not offended because, to be honest with you, I would act like one. I was not offended at that at all. We, like, can be very transparent with each other. And so, what's wrong with you? And so anyways, so clarity began to come on December 26, 2013. So it had been a couple years of this cycle, lots of emotions, negativity, all of that. In December 26, 2013, I was going in for vocal cord surgery. So for several years, I had some cyst on my vocal cords. So every time I spoke, it was really painful. So for years I'd preach and then I did not want to talk to anyone until Thursday. It was like, it hurt that bad. And so, but then they said, "Well, you could lose your voice. It could change." So I like didn't want to do the surgery, but it got to the point where I had to do the surgery because I could not speak and function normally. And so, but what they told me was after the surgery, you couldn't talk for a week. And I'm like, I have three kids. Like, this is not gonna work. And so they're like, "Well, you cannot talk for a week, not a word." I'm like, "Oh my goodness." And so I had a lot of preparation to do to be silent. And so I recorded all these memos on my phone. I had about 20 of them. Like, I had like a timeout one and I was like, "Hudson and Holton, that's it, timeout. Hudson in your room, Holton against the wall." So when they were like fighting, I'd just be like, "Timeout memo." And I literally just do this. I had the brush your teeth, the bedtime, wash your hands. I mean, I had everything. I had the I love yous. I had the prayers. I had everything. Like, I was prepared to be silent, you know? And I couldn't talk for a week. And John still says it was the best week of his life. It was so funny because I had to type everything out or like write it on a board. And when you can't talk, everyone else gets weird. Like I would go to stores and I'd show them my note, like I can't talk, thank you for your help or whatever. And they start doing like sign language to me. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. I'm like you can talk. I did that, John. So I'd like text him something like to tell the kids this. So he'd read and he'd start texting me back. I'm like, ugh. I'm like, I would punch him. I'm like, you talked. Like you're not mute. I am mute. And so honestly, it was a week of hilarity, I'll tell you that. But after a couple days into my silence, I realized that my household seemed so much more peaceful. I noticed my husband seemed happier. My kids seemed happier. So my family was happier because my mouth was shut. So what does that tell you about the kind of words that were coming out of my mouth and how it was affecting the atmosphere in my home? So words are very powerful. I'm not going to get in. That's a whole nother message. One day I'll preach it. But that is not my message. I'm not talking about the words. Because even though my house was more peaceful because my mouth was shut, I was still not at peace. But what I thought was interesting is the revelation finally came, because when you can't speak, you become very aware of your thoughts because that's all you have. And so I became very aware of the thoughts. I had become so busy that I had no time to stop and think about what I was thinking about. But now that I only had my thoughts, when I started to pay attention to them, I was shocked, disturbed, disgusted at some of the things that were running through my mind. And when those things came into my mind, my emotions and everything changed. I'd be happy and then I would lose my peace and I would be irritated and angry and resentful. So these are some of the things that ran through my mind. Remember, don't be judgy. So during my week of silence, so my boys would start fighting, and in my head, I'm like, they are so annoying, I cannot stand them. You'd make dinner and then they'd complain. I'd be like, those ungrateful brats. You know, John would text me and say, oh, I'm going to go golfing. I'm like, oh, you just get to do whatever you want. I'll just stay here and clean the house. Like I would do drop-offs and pickups at school, and I would sit there in the car thinking, I never get to do anything for myself. I have to do everything for everyone else. I never have any time to do what I want to do. John would come home from work. He's a busy man. He works so incredibly hard. Like he does so much. And he would come home and sit on the couch for like 2 seconds. And I'm sitting here thinking, I was like, lazy. I'll just do everything. Like, are you feeling better about yourself? You're welcome. Because I was a train wreck. Like, these are the things that I was thinking this whole week. So I was like, and then I'd be happy, and then I would have one of these thoughts, and then everything in me, my emotions, I'd be negative, I'd be grumpy, I'd be resentful, I'd be annoyed. And so I was like, oh my goodness. I was saved, but my thoughts were not saved. And so I went on this crazy journey, and I couldn't tell John anything that was going on because now I knew what was wrong with me. I had a gratitude problem. I needed a gratitude adjustment. And so I began this journey, and this is what the Bible says. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So my thoughts were miserable, so I was miserable. So my problem was a direct result of my inability to control my negative thought life. My anger, my resentment, my depression, my lack of joy, my lack of peace, directly related to me being unable to control my thought life. And I realized that what I had been experiencing for the last few years, I was reaping the harvest of everything I had sown in my thought life for all those years. Because Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So I was sowing negativity, resentment, anger, bitterness, and that's exactly what I was reaping in my own life. So this is what I did. For the next 5 days, I began a silent journey. In 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, really changed things for me. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bring every thought into captivity. So that's what I did. I brought every thought that came into my mind into captivity. I captured it. I made a conscious effort to think about what I was thinking about. And the moment I realized it was a negative thought, it was a thought where I did not want to reap the harvest of what that type of thought would sow, I had to get rid of it. I had to reject it. So I had to capture every thought. When I realized it was negative, I had to reject it. But how, don't you know, it's so hard to just get rid of a negative thought. You just want to keep rehearsing it over and over and over again. Like, we get really good at rehearsing. So what I found was this. I couldn't just reject it and start thinking about something happy. I had to then replace it with the thought of thanksgiving and praise. So I had to uproot the negative thought, and in its place, I had to put in thanksgiving and praise. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Your mind cannot have two dominating thoughts at the same time. You can't have love and hate at the exact same time. You can't have fear and faith, anxiety and peace, depression and hope. So I had to meditate on good things, and I had to literally be thankful in my mind. So this is what it would look like. So if John was coming home late, my initial reaction would be to be frustrated or annoyed. And I just have to go, God, so that emotion, that thought would come in. God, thank you so much that my husband works so hard. God, thank you that he is such an incredible provider for my family. And I would just go on and on with thankfulness and praise until my emotions lined up and the negativity left. When my kids were frustrated and they wouldn't eat what I made, I was just like, initially you're annoyed and frustrated. And I was like, thank you, God, I have leftovers for my lunch tomorrow. Thank you, God. Like, I was literally, like, I was doing whatever I could to find something to be thankful for so those negative emotions and feelings could leave. If you're dissatisfied with your job, start thanking God that you have a job, because so many people, even in this room right now, have been trying to find jobs for years and aren't able to. Be thankful that you have a job. Be thankful that you can provide for yourself. Maybe you're not happy with the house that you live in right now. There are so many people that don't have a home. There are so many people that literally are on the streets, that are living in cars. You thank God that you have a roof over your head. It may not be where you want to be in the kind of house you want long term, but be thankful that you're in that home right now. So I'm telling you, the negative thoughts came continually. But every time I replaced it with thanksgiving and praise, it would like be more and more time in between those negative thoughts that I was able to start having some peace. And I'm telling you, even within those 5 days of silence, so much joy began to return, so much peace. The anger was subsiding. And this was an amazing journey, you know, that I went on. So literally years of struggling with a lack of peace, depression and anger was all resolved with a gratitude adjustment. It just took a gratitude adjustment. So I would put it to you, if you have an attitude problem, an attitude thing that needs to be adjusted, I would put it to you that you probably have a gratitude problem. Gratitude and thankfulness are so incredibly powerful. And you do not want to go down the path of where ungratefulness leads you. It's the oldest trick in the book. Ungratefulness. Satan used it from the beginning of time. Think about Adam and Eve. They were in the garden. They had everything. God had just finished creation. So imagine untainted beauty. Like, oh my goodness, the most amazing, beautiful place in the world would pale in comparison to what the garden looked like. They had everything. God gave them dominion over every living thing. He gave them every tree, every fruit. He said, you can have every, like, the whole thing is yours. The whole thing, everything is for you. And except one thing. One thing, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they could have everything. Anything was at their disposal. But Satan got them focused in on the one little thing they didn't have. They had everything, you guys. They had everything. They were just them and Jesus. And Satan had them focused on the one thing they did not have. And they became ungrateful, and they made a decision that changed not just their lives, but all of humanity for the rest of time. Sin entered the world, and Jesus had to start the rescue mission to save mankind, because Satan got them focused on the one thing they didn't have when they literally had everything. They had everything. It's the oldest trick in the book. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for the little things that we have. You know, we take for granted the things that people are desperately praying for. People are desperately praying for spouses, for health, for jobs, for homes, for finance. People are desperately praying for the things that we take for granted. Now, I'm not saying to settle, okay? So I'm not saying to settle for a mediocre life and settle for where you're at if you know that's not where you need to be. So I'm not saying settle. I'm not saying settle for the broken down car, settle for the house that's too small for your family, and settle for financial lack and settle for a second-rate marriage. That is not what I'm saying. God wants you to have life and life abundantly. So if you're not experiencing life and life abundantly in one of those areas, we got to shift some stuff. We got to make some changes. But that doesn't mean we're not thankful for the things that we have. And I really felt this when I was preparing, when I made the comment, a second-rate marriage. I think some of us wouldn't have a second-rate marriage if we understood the principle of being thankful for what we have. We get so focused on the one or two things they don't do for us, that don't make us happy. But what about all the beautiful things they do for us? I think things could shift in marriages if we just begin to be thankful and show gratitude and appreciation for all of those little things. I was totally convicted. I say thank you to every barista who makes my coffee. My husband makes coffee for me every night for the morning when I wake up, so it's ready to go. I never say thank you. Like, I was totally convicted. My husband helps with the kids every night. I would never imagine, like, he would, like, sit on the couch and watch TV while I was doing bath time, routine, all that. We're engaged, like, 100%. Fully engaged. I never just thank him for that. Like, I felt like I needed to respond to my own altar call. Like, when I was writing this message, I'm like, I need to be more grateful for all the little things in my life. You know, maybe we're not happy with where our finances are or the job that we're in. And I'm telling you, maybe the breakthrough we're waiting for in our jobs and in our finances aren't happening because we haven't given thanks. Because we haven't given thanks. Your breakthrough will come after the Thanksgiving. Think about when Jesus was feeding the 5,000. He was feeding the 5,000 plus women and children. They had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And it wasn't until they were in lack. They didn't have enough. They weren't happy with what they had. They couldn't feed everyone. And it wasn't until Jesus said he gave thanks and then broke the bread that the multiplication and provision came for 5,000 men plus women and children and 12 baskets full left over. So I would say, if you're struggling with where you're at in your job and your finances, give thanks for where you're at right now and watch what God can do. He can begin to multiply and increase what you have. We need to be thankful in the little things. Literally, the air we breathe, we have clean water to drink. We get to come to church without worrying of being beheaded. Like, people deal with these things in the world. We take so many things for granted. Our loved ones, our parents, they do so much for us, yet we're mad that they won't buy us the iPhone 7 for Christmas. My 9-year-old thinks he's getting one. It's so not happening. Never. Never. No. I just got one. So I just want to encourage us to, again, if you're lacking joy, joy comes in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. Let's start spending more time in his presence. And how you enter his presence is with thanksgiving and praise. If we could be a people that is just thankful for what we have, those little things, so much joy, we're going to exude joy just like Brandon. And then let's take the opportunity to not focus on the one thing we don't have, or our crazy family over Thanksgiving. Well, at least you have one. They may be crazy, but you have one. Like, let's be so grateful as we approach this season. And let's not be a season. We're supposed to be thankful in all circumstances, no matter what is going on, all throughout the year. Thanksgiving and praise is so powerful. Amen? Amen. And we're coming to a close. You know, I've read this scripture so many times about the Last Supper. Matthew 26:6. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the remission, forgiveness of sins." Thought it was so interesting. It's never stood out to me before. He gave thanks and then gave his disciples the bread and the wine. He gave thanks and then gave his disciples the bread that represent his body that was about to be broken for us. He gave thanks, and then he gave his disciples the wine that represented the blood that was about to be shed for us. So God gave thanks for the symbols of things that would cause him imminent pain and suffering. He gave thanks for his body that was about to be broken and gave thanks for the blood that was about to be shed. And I think Jesus was fully God and fully man. So the humanity side of him, he knew what was coming, how much pain he was going to have to endure for us. So I don't think he was giving thanks for the circumstance. He was giving thanks in the circumstance, because God was going to work all things together for good. He was able to give thanks in that circumstance because he was going to gain you as a son and daughter of the Most High God. He was able to give thanks because he was going to be able to pay for your penalty on the cross. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2 that Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. For the joy. How do you find joy in that circumstance? For that circumstance is because he was going to be able to gain sons and daughters. He was going to be able to take you literally from the punishment that you deserve out of hell and grab you and pull you into the kingdom of heaven. That is why he was able to give thanks for what was about to take place, because he had you in mind. He had you in mind. He knew you couldn't carry the penalty of your sin, and he was glad for the joy set before him, endured the cross, because he loved you so very, very much. God is so good. And I want to give everyone an opportunity to respond tonight to that sacrifice that Jesus made for each and every one of us. The Bible says, for the wages of sin are death. We all deserve death. But Jesus came so that we could have life and forgiveness. And not just life, but life abundantly. And when we leave this earth, we will spend eternity in one of two places. And I want to spend it in the place that's being prepared for us, in heaven with Jesus, the one who loved us so much. So I'd love if everyone would just bow their heads and close their eyes. We're going to end in the next 3 minutes. If you have never received Jesus, acknowledge that you need forgiveness for your sins. Acknowledge that you need a Savior. And maybe you're in this place, and if your life potentially could have been taken just like Brandon's was, do you know where you would be? Would you be in heaven with your Father, Heavenly Father, or would you be in eternity separated from him? We have an opportunity tonight to secure our future, our eternity, and receive forgiveness for our sins and a fresh start. So if you've never made that decision in here tonight or on live stream, and you know that's you and you need to connect with Jesus, will you just lift your hand up so I can see it? You can just slip your hand up nice and high and then put it down. You're in this place and you know you need to get your life right with Jesus. And we're just going to wait just for a few moments. There's so many of you. And the first one to raise their hand is always the toughest, huh? I see you, both your hands over there to the side. Thank you. Three of you, yes. Thank you, Jesus. How do you know you need to give your life to Jesus? Your heart's probably beating really fast right now. That's literally God knocking on the door of your heart. I see your hand down on the front. Beautiful, beautiful. And I see your hand down on the floor here, sir. Thank you, Jesus. I see your hand, young man, right down here on the front. We're just going to linger for just another minute. Your heart's racing. You wish I would end. I'm going to count to three. If you know you need to respond, on the count of three, just shoot your hand up nice and high. One, two, three. Yes, I see your hand down here and up there in the turquoise sweater. Beautiful. Anyone else? Anyone else? See your hand on the front. Amen, amen. All right, you can go ahead and look up with me. How incredible. People's lives were literally taken from hell into heaven tonight. This is the most important thing we do in church. Literally rescue souls. And I would love if everyone would just stand to their feet. And what we're going to do, just with circumstances, everyone already down at the front, I'm just going to have the whole church pray this prayer with those that raise their hand. But for those of you who raise your hand, really, this is such an incredible moment. This is the best decision you have ever made in your entire life. And I'm believing that God is going to enter your life. You're going to have a powerful encounter with Him. And so we're all going to pray this prayer of salvation together in just a few moments. Are we ready, church? So let's all pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to the cross to take my punishment onto Himself. I thank you today that I am forgiven, that I am saved, that I am set free. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Help me to walk with you all the days of my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And the church said, amen, amen. Woo! So good. Well, church, those of you who raise your hand, we want to give you a gift. We want to give you a Bible, and we want to give you a book called Following Jesus. It will just help you on your journey. So we have a response lounge just over here. We have some of our most friendly people in our church in there, and we want to give you that gift and just answer any questions that you have. So please don't go run off, and the after party will still be going on. They're just going to take 3 minutes of your time. So we'd love to connect with you, pray with you, answer any questions that you have. And so, church, the band's gonna take us out with this song here in a minute, but I wanna remind the parents, don't go start partying without your children, all right? You have to get your children, and then there's lots of fun things to do out there. So I'm just gonna pray for you. Everyone just lift your hands to heaven. God, I thank you for each and every person in this place. Father, I thank you, God, that we are gonna be experiencing a gratitude adjustment. Father, I thank you right now that you are filling us up with joy. You are filling us up with peace. God, as we enter into your presence with thanksgiving and praise, God, I declare right now that things are shifting in each and every life. God, a new season is dawning in marriages, in families, with parents, with children. Joy is returning. Peace is returning as you stay in His presence. God, I thank you for each and every one. God, bless them over Thanksgiving with their families and friends. Not one would be alone. We thank you for what you're doing in and through each all of our lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, church, have a great time. Go out there and party and dance your socks off.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.